Welcome, everybody, to Coffee Grind with XEI, your random info podcast, where I, Nuno XEI, invite you to join me as I spotlight details about a random subject. If you're looking for focus, well, this podcast isn't for you, so thanks for coming. Have a nice day. This here, folks, is for the knowledge explorers and eccentric conversation starters out there. Slurp down that coffee, sit back and relax. It's time for a random info grind. Here we go, episode 2, and on this episode, I'm going to be spotlighting Howard Philip Lovecraft, better known out there as H.P. Lovecraft. He was an American author who achieved posthumous fame through his influential works of horror fiction, especially that of his later work, post-1925 or so, dealing with the Cthulhu mythos. Virtually unknown and only published in pulp magazines before he died in poverty, he is now regarded as one of the most significant 20th century authors in his genre. Lovecraft was born on August 20, 1890. He was the only child of Winfield Scott Lovecraft and Sarah Susan Phillips Lovecraft. In 1893, when Lovecraft was only 3, his father became acutely psychotic and was placed in the Providence Psychiatric Institution, Butler Hospital, where he remained until his death in 1898. H.P. Lovecraft maintained throughout his life that his father had died in a condition of paralysis brought on by nervous exhaustion. After his father's hospitalization, Lovecraft was raised by his mother, his 2 aunts, and his maternal grandfather, Whipple Van Buren Phillips. All 5 resided together in the family home. Lovecraft was a prodigy, reciting poetry at the age of 3 and writing complete poems by 6. His grandfather encouraged his reading, providing him with the classics such as The Arabian Nights, Bulfinch's Age of Fable, and children's versions of The Iliad and The Odyssey. His grandfather also stirred the boy's interest in the weird by telling him his own original tales of Gothic horror. Lovecraft was frequently ill as a child. Because of his sickly condition, he barely attended school until he was 8 years old and then was withdrawn after a year. He read voraciously during this period and became especially enamored by chemistry and astronomy. Beginning in his early life, Lovecraft is believed to have suffered from night terrors, a form of parasomnia. Parasomnias, by the way, are a category of sleep disorders that involve abnormal movements, behaviors, emotions, perceptions, and dreams that occur while falling asleep, sleeping, between sleep stages, or during arousal from sleep. Lovecraft believed himself to be assaulted at night by horrific night gaunts, and much of his later work is thought to have been directly inspired by these terrors. So much so that night gaunts became the subject of a poem he wrote of the same name, in which they were personified as devil-like creatures without faces. His grandfather's death in 1904 greatly affected Lovecraft's life. Mismanagement of his grandfather's estate left his family in a poor financial situation, and they were forced to move into much smaller accommodations. In 1908, prior to his high school graduation, he's said to have suffered what he later described as a nervous breakdown, and consequently never received his high school diploma, although he maintained for most of his life that he did graduate. S.T. Joshi suggests in his biography of Lovecraft that a primary cause for his breakdown was his difficulty in higher mathematics, a subject he needed to master to become a professional astronomer. This changed in 1913 when he wrote a letter to the Argosy, complaining about the insipidness of the love stories in the publication by writer Fred Jackson. The ensuing debate in the magazine's letter column caught the eye of Edward F. Das, president of the United Amateur Press Association, UAPA, who invited Lovecraft to join the organization in 1914. The UAPA reinvigorated Lovecraft and incited him to contribute many poems and essays. In 1916, his first published work, The Alchemist, appeared in the United Amateur. By this time, he had begun to build what became a huge network of correspondence. His lengthy and frequent missives would make him one of the greatest letter writers of the century. Among his correspondents were Robert Bloch of Psycho, Clark Ashton Smith, and my favorite, Robert E. Howard, the creator of Conan the Barbarian, and whom will likely get a dedicated episode of his own sometime in the future. In 1919, after suffering from hysteria and depression for a long period of time, Lovecraft's mother was committed to the mental institution Butler Hospital, where her husband had died. Nevertheless, she wrote frequent letters to Lovecraft and they remained close until her death, May 24, 1921. Throughout his life, selling stories and paid literary work for others did not provide enough to cover Lovecraft's basic expenses. Living frugally, he subsisted on an inheritance that was nearly depleted by the time of his last years. He sometimes went without food to afford the cost of mailing letters. Eventually, he was forced to move to a smaller and meaner lodgings with his surviving aunt. He was also deeply affected by the suicide of his correspondent, Robert E. Howard, and in early 1937, Lovecraft was diagnosed with cancer of the small intestine and suffered from malnutrition as a result. He lived in constant pain until his death on March 15, 1937, in Providence. Lovecraft's most significant literary influence was Edgar Allan Poe. He had a British writing style due to his love of British literature. Like Lovecraft, Poe's work was out of step with the prevailing literary trends of his era. Both authors created distinctive, singular worlds of fantasy and employed archaisms in their writing. Lovecraft was also influenced by Arthur Machen's carefully constructed tales concerning the survival of ancient evil into modern times in an otherwise realistic world and his beliefs in hidden mysteries which lay beyond reality. Another inspiration came from a completely different source, scientific progress in biology, astronomy, geology, and physics. His study of science contributed to Lovecraft's view of the human race as insignificant, powerless, and doomed in a materialistic and mechanistic universe. Lovecraft was a keen amateur astrologer from his youth, often visiting the Ladd Observatory in Providence and penning numerous astrological articles for local newspapers. Lovecraft expressed his philosophical views through his fiction. These philosophical views came to be called cosmicism. The basics of the philosophy of cosmicism states that there is no recognizable divine presence such as a god in the universe, and that humans are particularly insignificant in the larger scheme of intergalactic existence, and perhaps are just a small species projecting their own mental idolatries onto the vast cosmos, ever susceptible to being wiped from existence at any moment. Cosmicism took on a dark tone with his creation of what is today often called the Cthulhu Mythos, a pantheon of alien extra-dimensional deities and horrors which predate humanity, and which are hinted at in eons-old myths and legends. The term Cthulhu Mythos was coined by Lovecraft's correspondent and fellow author, August Derleth. So let's switch gears and get the grind on Lovecraft's influence on culture. He was relatively unknown during his lifetime, but he did, however, correspond regularly with other contemporary writers, such as Clark Ashton Smith and August Derleth, people who became good friends of his even though they had never met in person. This group of writers became known as the Lovecraft Circle since they all freely borrowed elements of Lovecraft's stories. The mysterious books with disturbing names, the pantheon of ancient alien entities such as Cthulhu and Azathoth, and eldritch places such as the New England town of Arkham and the Miskatonic University. After Lovecraft's death, the Lovecraft Circle carried on. August Derleth in particular added to and expanded on Lovecraft's vision. However, Derleth's contributions have been controversial. While Lovecraft never considered his pantheon of alien gods more than a mere plot device, Derleth created an entire cosmology, complete with a war between the good elder gods and the evil outer gods such as Cthulhu and his ilk. The forces of good were supposed to have won, locking Cthulhu and others up beneath the earth, the ocean, and so forth. Derleth's Cthulhu Mythos stories went on to associate different gods with the traditional four elements of fire, earth, air, and water, an artificial constraint which required rationalization on Derleth's part, as Lovecraft himself never envisioned such a scheme. Lovecraft's fiction has been grouped into three categories by some critics. So the ranges are the macabre stories from 1905 to 1920, the dream cycle stories from 1920 to 1927, and then finally the Cthulhu or the Lovecraft mythos stories from 1925 to 1935. Beyond direct adaptation, Lovecraft and his stories have had a profound impact on popular culture. Some influence was direct, as he was a friend, inspiration, and correspondent to many of his contemporaries such as August Derleth, Robert E. Howard, Robert Bloch, and Fritz Lieber. Many later figures were influenced by Lovecraft's work, including author and artist Clive Barker, prolific horror writer Stephen King, comics writer Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman, and Mike Mignola, film directors John Carpenter, Stuart Gordon, Guillermo del Toro, and artist H.R. Giger. And now time to end with the Yi Nash Yogg-Sothoth invocation. Ye Nash Yogg-Sothoth Ye He Geb Vi Nothrog Yak. And time to see if I go insane tomorrow. On the Coffee Grind with XEI podcast, you'll never know what you're going to get. This podcast is about all the things that interest me, which is pretty random, and I know I'm not the only one out there. Topics range from the arts to the sciences and anything in between. Subscribe if you haven't already, and if you know anyone who would appreciate the Coffee Grind podcast, please tell them about it. This podcast will always be less than 10 minutes. A perfect airwaves break to all those other hour-plus-long podcasts. You can find me on Twitter as @NunoXEI or at my website xei.io. Be sure to return for your next random Coffee Grind with XEI. Peace, everybody. Satisfying cups of pleasure. A coffee break makes the moment bright.